ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ويهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. إن شاء الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we get to the point in our discussion of Salat al-Jama'ah. We get to the point of discussing when you count the rak'ah, and we said if you reach the imam while he is in ruku'ah and you can join him in ruku'ah and stand in line and join him in ruku'ah before he finishes his ruku'ah, then that counts as a rak'ah for you. If you come after that, you still have to join the imam, but it doesn't count as a rak'ah. Now the next thing, man raka aduna saf, we started by reading this hadith an Abi Bakrata أنه انتهى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو راكع فركع قبل أن يصل إلى الصف فذكر ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد. This is in Bukhari and Abu Dawood and others, which means that he came into the masjid while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in ruku' and the jama'ah with him. So he started his ruku' before he got into the line, and that was mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, may Allah increase your concern, but do not do this again. Now some people, there is a difference actually as to what was the exact statement of the Prophet ﷺ and why he said it. So some say that he actually said زادك الله حرصا ولا تعدو, may Allah increase you in concern but do not تعدو, instead of تعود. تعود means repeat, do it again. تعدو means run. And they say because the man, the Prophet ﷺ was telling him not to run to the prayer, because what he was doing, he came running, so he told him don't run. Not only he started ruku' far away from the line, but he also ran to join the line. So that is one opinion, that shows the opinion that some say that the reason he was rebuking him is because he ran into the line. Others say is because he started his ruku' before the line. But this we will see that it is not right, because there are other ahadith that support such an action. Atta, rahimahullah, reported that he heard Ibn Zubayr saying on the minbar, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ وَالنَّاسَ رُكُوعٌ فَلْيَرْكَعَ حَتَّى يَدْخُلْ ثُمَّ يَدُبُّ رَاكِعًا حَتَّى يَدْخُلَ فِي الصَّفِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ السُّنَّةِ. This is an authentic hadith, and it's in Sirat al-Hadith Sahih by Albani. It means that he heard Ibn Zubayr say in his khutbah on the minbar, one of you enters the masjid while the people are in ruku'ah, then let him make ruku'ah, which means as soon as he gets to the entrance, enter the masjid, like he enters the door of the masjid, let's say this door, and the people are in ruku' in the front, let him make ruku' and then continue walking while he is in ruku' until he joins the line. And that is the sunnah. And Zayd ibn Wahab qal, kharajtu ma' Abdullah min darihi ila al-masjid. Zayd ibn Wahab says, I went out with Abdullah the Mas'ud from his house to the masjid. فَلَمَّا تَوَسَّطْنَا الْمَسْجِدِ رَكَعَ الْإِمَامِ. When we were in the middle of the masjid, which means towards the front, the imam went into ruku'. فَكَبَّرَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَكَعَ وَرَكَعْتُ مَعَهُ. So Abdullah Mas'ud said, Allah said, Allahu Akbar, and he went to ruku'. And I made ruku' with him. ثُمَّ مَشَيْنَا حتى انتهينا إلى الصف ثم مشينا حتى انتهينا إلى الصف حين رفع القوم رؤوسهم. Then we continued walking while in Rukua, that is, until they reached the line. When they reached the line, the people raised their head from Rukua. فلما قال الإمام الصلاة قمت وأنا أرى أني لم أدرك. So when the Imam finished the prayer, I got up, seeing or considering that I did not reach the rak'ah in time to count it. فأخذ عبد الله بيدي وأجلسني. But Abdullah pulled me by my hand and made me sit. ثم قال إنك قد أدركت. And then he said, no, you have reached the rak'ah, or you caught up the rak'ah. This is new to me, subhanAllah. But it's Sahih Muslim. Wait a minute, no. This is in Sahih Hadith Sahiha and in Al-Bayhaqi. So Al-Bayhaqi is taking it as a not as a main hadith, so it's as a supporting hadith to the other one. So according to the opinions of Abdullah, two of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when you enter the masjid and the Imam is in sujood, in ruku'ah, even if you are far from the line, you can start your ruku'ah. And then after you start your ruku'ah, you walk while you are in ruku'ah until you join the line. Now of course, if you do it in our time, people will be very surprised and they think that you went out of your mind. But as you heard, this was practiced by one of the Sahaba and commanded by or recommended by another one of the Sahaba. So you make ruku'ah and you continue with your ruku'ah until you get into the line. Now, the other question that I was not sure about, and seeing that this report about Ibn Mas'ud clarifies it, is that you actually count the rak'ah. Because I knew that other one, but I didn't know that whether you count it or not. And he says you count it. So, Allahu A'lam. But as I said, this is unconventional, and if you ask most of the scholars, they tell you no, you cannot do that. And they would cite the first hadith that you heard, which is Zadak Allahu Hirsan wa la ta'ud, may Allah increase you in concern, but do not do it again. For the man who started his ruku' before he got to the line, to the wall. So, Allahu A'lam. But if you do act upon this hadith, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, it's not wrong, because you have a support in that, by that some of the Sahaba have already preceded you into that. Okay. Now, it is recommended for the Imam, when he leads the people in Jama'ah prayer, to shorten his prayer, or to make his prayer relatively short. Because Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. When one of you leads the people in prayer, let him shorten it. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفَ فَإِنَّ فِيهِمُ ضَعِيفَ وَالسَّقِيمَ وَالْكَبِيرَ. Because among them is the weak, the sick, and the old. فَإِذَا صَلَّى لِنَفْسِهِ فَلْيُطَوِّلْ مَا شَاءَ. But when he prays by himself, let him make it as long as he wishes. Then the next idea or concept is about that, and this we mentioned before in the description of the Prophet's prayer sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is italatul imam al-rak'at al-ula. It is recommended for the Imam to make the first rak'ah long. So we mentioned this in the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the hadith of Aisha, that he used to make his Dhuhr prayer, for example, first rak'ah long, the second rak'ah almost half the length of the first rak'ah, and so on. So the first rak'ah was much longer. And of course, her description was not for him praying in her house, because he did not pray the obligatory prayers in her house. Rather, he prayed them in Jama'ah, in the masjid. So that was the description of his prayer in Jama'ah, and he was the Imam. So this is the same thing about the same action by the Prophet ﷺ reported by another one of the Sahaba, and that is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He said, لَقَدْ كَانَتْ The previous hadith is recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. The one about that when he prays by himself, let him make it as long as he wishes. This hadith by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, لَقَدْ كَانَتْ صَلَاتُ الظُّهْرِ تُقَامْ فَيَذْهَبُ الذَّاهِبُ إِلَى الْبَقِيَةِ فيقضي حاجته ثم يتوضأ ثم يأتي ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الركعة الأولى مما يطولها. Which means indeed the prayer, the Dhuhr prayer used, the Iqamah for Dhuhr prayer used to be given, used to be announced, the Iqamah, the beginning of the prayer. And then at that time anyone, a person who wants to go to Al-Baqiyah, and Al-Baqiyah, you know, it is an area to the northern part of Al-Madina at that time, and that is where they used to bury the people. So there was a graveyard or a cemetery for the Muslims in Al-Baqiyah, and also there was an area where the people went for Qada al-Haja to, for toilets. It because it is outside, they did not have toilets inside their houses, so they used to go outside the houses for that purpose. So he says, the one who wants to go to Al-Baqiyah, he would go there and يقضي حاجته, fulfills his needs, fulfill his needs, his need, which means whatever he needs to do there, going to toilet, urinate or defecate, and then يتوضأ, and then perform wudu, and then come back. And so you have to imagine how long it, all of that takes, depending of course on the distance to Al-Baqiyah. But I have no clear idea of how far it is from the center of Masjid al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where it is now to Al-Baqiyah. You can still measure those distances, but it is probably about at least half a mile. So one would go there and finish, perform wudu, come back, and the Prophet ﷺ is still in the first rak'ah because of how long he used to make it. So the first rak'ah, this, you know, tells you that when the Prophet ﷺ says, when you lead the people in when you are leading the people in the jama'ah prayer, shorten your prayer. This is a relative command. It doesn't mean shorten it means read in the first rak'ah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, and in the second rak'ah إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ, and things like that. Doesn't mean that. It means relatively shorten it, which means shorten it comparable to the shortening of the Prophet ﷺ or something of that order, because he used to lead the Sahaba and he taught us how much should be the length or the duration of each rak'ah. Also the scholars say that one of the wisdoms behind that is to enable as many people as possible to catch the first rak'ah so that the whole prayer will count for them with the imam. So he makes the first rak'ah long because usually the first rak'ah is the one which people need to catch it, and they are late in catching it because, or the beginning of the prayer, because they have to go perform wudu and so on, do different things once they realize that it is the time for the prayer, once they hear the adhan or the clock in our time rings or something like that. So it is recommended for the imam to make the first rak'ah long. And of course we know that in our time very few imams apply this sunnah, that the first rak'ah should be longer than the other rak'ah. Sometimes they make the first rak'ah shorter than other rak'ah, as if, you know, trying their best to make as many people miss the first rak'ah as possible. So it's reversing that sunnah. And you know, another thing is not mentioned here. Probably it will be mentioned later, but I doubt it. Yeah, I don't think it's mentioned. Which is that when the Prophet ﷺ went to Rukua, if he heard some noises in the masjid, like some people are trying, coming in, trying to catch the prayer, he would make his ruku' longer to allow more people to catch the prayer. So that shows more concern for the people. Okay, and this also we see this regard for this, like, you know, sometimes as if the imam, when he hears somebody coming in, he goes up immediately to make sure that he doesn't catch the prayer. I mean, it's not for that purpose, but I mean, it appears as if that is the situation. And on the other hand, we find people coming into the masjid and making all sorts of noises to attract the attention of the imam so that he will wait. Like sometimes they say they say salamu alaykum loud, or they shake their keys, or they do all different sorts of things, hoping that the imam will realize that they are trying to catch the rak'ah and will make his ruku'ah longer. So this is not correct or acceptable, because that to be, you know, artificial in making noise, because that would distract the other people from their prayer and make them start thinking, who is this who is coming, and is he going to catch the rak'ah or not, and so on. وجوب متابعة الإمام وحرمة مسابقته. Anas رضي الله عنه reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به فإذا كبر فكبروا وإذا سجد فاسجدوا وإذا رفع فارفعوا. To the end of the hadith, which means indeed the Imam has been made so that he would be followed. So if he says Allahu Akbar, say Allahu Akbar after him, which means if he makes sujood, go to sujood. If he gets up from sujood, then rise from sujood, and so on to the end of the hadith. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, أما يخشى أحدكم إذا رفع رأسه قبل الإمام أن يجعل الله رأسه رأس حمار أو يجعل الله صورته صورة حمار. Which means, doesn't one of you fear that when he raises his head before the Imam, that Allah would turn his head into the head of a donkey, or make his form the form of a donkey? So this is just as a reminder of the great of the seriousness of such a mistake or an act of disobedience, to precede the imam instead of following him. And it is reported with the authentically reported that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to wait until the imam in ruku', for example, for the sujood, when he says Allahu Akbar and he goes down for sujood, they would wait until his forehead touches the ground. They can see that his forehead is on the ground, and so before they moved into sujood. So that shows that how well was their following of the imam, that they would not precede him, but rather they would follow him. But it doesn't mean by following either that you would be too late. Like the imam goes to ruku', and then you say, okay, I'll follow him, but I want to be sure that I do not go ahead of him. So you wait until he finishes his ruku' and starts getting up, and then you go to ruku'. This is wrong, because that way you would not be truly following him. You are out of sync with him. You have to synchronize your following with the imam, that he goes down, then you go down shortly after him, so that you would catch the rukun with him. And if the imam finishes sujood and gets up, you find some people feel at that moment that they are inclined to make more supplication, more dua in sujood, so they make their sujood long while the imam finished sujood and he is already sitting in tashahud, or between the two rak'at, between the two sajdat. This is wrong. They should, if they want to stay a brief moment, longer they can, but not too long, so that that would appear that they are not really following the imam. So every action should be after the imam, but not too much later. Okay. Who is the one who deserves the most to lead the prayer? Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ummu al-qawma aqra'uhum li kitabillah. The one who leads, reads means he memorizes the book of Allah the most, is the one who leads the people. فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْقِرَاءَةِ سَوَاءً فَعَلَمُهُمْ بِالسُّنَّةِ. If they are equal in their qira'ah, in their recitation, then the one who knows the sunnah best. If they are equal in the sunnah, in كَانُوا فِي الْسُنَّةِ سَوَاءً فَأَقْدَمُهُمْ هِجْرَةً. The one who made hijrah from Mecca to Medina first. فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْهِجْرَةِ سَوَاءً فَأَقْدَمُهُمْ سِلْمًا. If they are equal in hijrah, that is, they migrated together, then the one who is earliest in Islam, he who embraced Islam first. وَلَا يَأُمَّنَّ الرَّجُلُ الرَّجُلَ فِي سُلْطَانِ. And a man may not lead another man in the prayer in his own dominion, in his own place of power, or his house. وَلَا يَقْعُدَنَّ فِي بَيْتِهِ عَلَى تَكْرِمَتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And he may not sit in his house, in his most, you know, the place that he considers as a special place in his house, except with his permission. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Now this shows that the one who should lead the prayer is the one who reads Quran or who memorizes Quran the most. If they are equal, then there are the other criteria that follows and after that. And the memorization of the Quran comes before knowledge of the Sunnah. Unless, of course, a person is a person of bid'ah and not knowing the Sunnah at all, he doesn't know how to pray, then he is given precedence, as Sheikh Ibn Baz and other scholars say. However, the person's place of dominion or control, like his house, or if he's a king or is a ruler, then that person is the one who has the highest priority to lead the prayer in that case, or somebody that he appoints. But even in that case, if one has the ability to make jama between the different ahadith, then he will be fulfilling the sunnah to the best. Like, for instance, you know, a number of years ago, when I used to be the imam of in Arlington here, in 85 to 87, you know, and then when Brother Martez moved to Arlington, and even though I was the imam, so I have the right to lead all the prayers, but whenever he was in the masjid, I would ask him to lead the prayer, even though it was known that I am the imam of the masjid. And you know, I only led maybe once or twice when he was there, just to make people understand that it is my right, not his right, to lead, and I am giving it up just in obedience to the hadith, or in fulfillment of the hadith, that to make jama between the two ahadith, the hadith which says Ya ummu al-qawma aqra'uhum li kitabillah, the one who has the best recitation of the Quran leads people, and the other one which says وَلَا يَؤْمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ الرَّجُلَ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَفِي سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. The one may not lead another over another person in his place of power or control, etc., except with his permission. So I give him my permission. So that is the best in fulfillment of the two ahadith, two criteria, and obedience of the Prophet ﷺ. And I believe that if a person has the ability to let somebody else who is more knowledgeable of the Quran, of the Sunnah, and so on, if he has the ability to let him lead and he doesn't do it, then he may be disobeying the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes people cannot. I mean, sometimes a person knows that he is of lesser knowledge of Quran or Sunnah, but he cannot. I mean, he has to lead because, for instance, he is commanded by the ruler of the country or the ruler of the town and so on, that you are the imam, you have to lead the prayer, so he has no say in it. But if he has full say and nothing, no problem will arise from that, then it is highly recommended for him to give up his right, for so that he would make jama' between the different commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Now here. Okay, we covered everything in this regard. Now, is it permissible for a young boy to lead the prayer? And by young boy, it means somebody who is underage, under the age of puberty. Amr bin Salama radiallahu anhu said, لما كانت وقعة أهل الفتح بادر كل قوم بإسلامهم وبدر أبي قومي بإسلامهم فلما قدم قال جئتكم والله من عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حقا فقال صلوا صلاة كذا وكذا في حين كذا وكذا وصلوا صلاة كذا في حين كذا فإذا حضرت الصلاة فليؤذن أحدكم وليؤمكم أكثركم قرآنا فنظروا فلم يكن أحد أكثر قرآنا مني لما كنت أتلقى من الركبان فقدموني بين أيديهم وأنا ابن 6 أو 7 سنين. This is hadith al-sahih, it is in Bukhari and Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, which means Amr bin Salama رضي الله عنه is reporting that when it was the incident of the people of Al-Fatah, which means after conquering Mecca and the people in Arabia started entering into Islam in large numbers, that is بَادَرَ كُلُّ قَوْمٍ بِإِسْلَامِهِمْ, so every tribe or every people started to rush into embracing Islam. وَبَدَرَ أَبِي قَوْمِي بِإِسْلَامِهِمْ, and my father preceded my people into the Islam, into Islam. And then, so he went to the Prophet ﷺ, met with him and took some instructions from him, his father radiallahu anhu, and then he went back to them, to his people, and he said, I am coming to you by Allah from the one who is truly a prophet. And he told them, he told me, pray the, so such and such prayer at such and such time, and such prayer at such and such time, and so on. So he told them the prayers and their times and so on. And now when it is time for a prayer, let one of you give adhan, and one of you and let the one who has most Quran among you lead you, which means the one who memorizes the most Quran. So we looked, they looked, he says, Amr bin Salama is reporting, they looked, checked, and they found that no one had more Quran, more memorization of Quran than me. Because I used, he's telling why, how come? Because he was not living in Medina, so how come he memorized so much Quran? So he's saying, because I used to catch it from the riders, the rukban, from the travelers. So it seems that whenever he was a young boy, and whenever there were travelers passing through their tribe or their town, they would stop for rest for a few hours, and they are Muslims, so he hears them praying, reciting Quran, so he would learn some ayat of the Quran from them, and he is a young, fresh-minded boy, so he would learn some a good amount of Quran. So they found that he knew more Quran than anybody else in town, and he was only 6 or 7 years old. So they made him lead the prayer. So he became their imam when he was 6 or 7 years old, which means the age of what? Smaller than Mustafa, maybe the age of Mujahid. How old is Mujahid?
6 or 7.
Yeah, so it's about, he was about that age. And some reports, I don't know if it was about him specifically, probably it is, say that he did not have anything decent to cover himself with. So when he first started leading them the prayer, when he makes sujood, his awra will be exposed in sujood, because he had short clothes and he was still a little boy. So the woman objected to that, and they said, cover up the behind of your imam from us. And he said, then then they bought for me two new pieces of cloth, that is the two garments, the lower and the upper garment. And he said, I was never happy or pleased with anything like those new clothes that I got because of that. So, you know, that's how poor they were at those times, that, you know, it is hard to cover a boy in the sunnah to pay behind, to be led by a person who is paying fard, or vice versa, or a person who is paying sunnah leading people who are paying fard. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that Mu'adh bin Jabal used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then go to his people and lead them in prayer. And as you know, Mu'adh bin Jabal was from Medina. So his people, his people means his tribe, or is the branch of one of the tribes of Al-Ansar. And I'm not sure from which of the two tribes, main tribes of Al-Ansar, he was. But he would go to his people and lead them, which means that his people probably were not living close to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ to be able to attend a Isha prayer with him. So he would pray with the Prophet ﷺ and then go to his people and lead them in the same prayer, in the Isha prayer, which means that he would be praying a nafila, sunnah prayer, because he already prayed Isha with the Prophet ﷺ, while his people would be praying the fard prayer. This is in Bukhari. In Bukhari and Muslim and others. And this is, you probably know the story, or you heard it probably. People usually remember it more than anything else, about when Mu'adh was leading the people in one of these cases where he wanted to lead his people in Isha prayer. So he started reading Surah Al-Baqarah in the Isha prayer, and he read a large, long, excellent portion of it. So his one of the people left and did not continue praying with him. So after he finished the prayer, now, you know, I'm just saying this hadith from memory, it's probably better to find the exact text of it, because there may be some little imprecision in what I'm saying. What I remember is that he came, that man, after Mu'adh finished, he rebuked the man, and he said that he told him, you are a munafiq, or something like that, because a hypocrite to leave the prayer and continue the prayer by yourself. So he said, I want to go and tell the Prophet ﷺ about this. So they went together to the Prophet ﷺ and they described what happened. And the man said, so the Prophet ﷺ, first Mu'adh spoke, and then the man said, O Allah's Messenger, we are people who work early in the day. We are farmers or something like that, and we toil all day long. So by the time of Isha, we are very exhausted. And here Mu'adh comes and he leads us reciting long surah in the Isha prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ Are you trying to turn people away, O Mu'adh, from the deen, or from the true deen? Are you trying to turn people away, O Mu'adh? So he kept repeating it. Maybe it was in this or similar occasion that he said that when one of you leads the people, then let him make his prayer shorter. And as I said, that people usually take these ahadith out of context, and they say that even sometimes if the imam reads وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى in Salat al-Isha, they will say, you have made the prayer too long for us. Are you fattan? Are you trying to turn us away from our deen? So the common people, this is the first hadith they will remember, even, you know, but out of context, as I said. And I still remember when I was you know, in my teens, about the age of Abdullah, I went out of town to a different town for a reason, to Tripoli in North Lebanon, and I went to pray Fajr prayer in a masjid that looked, somebody told me it's nice, it's good to pray there, there is a good imam and so on, an old man. So I went there to pray, and the imam read in the Fajr prayer Surat Yasin, like salam. And Surat Yasin, I think he read Surat Yasin, if I remember correctly. It is altogether about six pages. So it's not even, you know, it's like a quarter of a juz. Not even, you know, maybe about a quarter of a juz, plus or minus a little bit. So it's not really that long. And here we usually pray in Fajr prayer up many times, something close to it in length, especially on Friday. So after the prayer, people were yelling at him and telling him, you are trying, أَفَتَّمَنْ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذْ إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لِبِالنَّاسِ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ, etc. They mentioned all these ahadith to him. And, you know, I was still little, you know, but I did not, but I started telling them, but they are also, on the other hand, the ahadith such and such, and the Prophet ﷺ led the people in the prayer, and Abu Bakr led the people in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Yusuf, etc., the Prophet ﷺ, and so on and so on. So that's nothing compared to what was actually recited by them. So what I mean is that people should understand that the prayer should be shorter and should be to the level of ability of the people who are praying behind the imam, but shortening should be also relative and not absolute shortening, which means read one ayah in one rak'ah. And especially for the Isha prayer, the Isha prayer should be among the shortest of the prayers, actually the shortest. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, yeah, Isha normally on the average should be the shortest prayer in terms of recitation. That was the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, to shorten the Isha prayer. And now in our time we find that in most masajid they reverse it, so they shorten Maghrib prayer and they make Isha longer. But this is not the Sunnah. The Sunnah is Maghrib, they used to read something like 2 pages, 3 pages in each rak'ah in Maghrib. And they would shorten the Isha prayer because it's at the end of the day when people are totally exhausted and they need to go to bed because they have to get up in the morning for Qiyam or for in the middle of the night or for the Fajr prayer. So this shows, therefore, the hadith of Mu'adh, of Jabir, about Mu'adh, that it is permissible for an imam to be praying nafil or voluntary prayer while the people following him are praying a fard prayer. Yazid bin Aswad reported that he prayed with the Prophet ﷺ when he was a young man, وَهُوَ غُلَامٌ شَابٌ فَلَمَّا صَلَّى إِذَا رَجُلَانِ لَمْ يُصَلِّيَا فِي نَاحِيَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ. So after he finished his prayer, after the Prophet ﷺ finished his prayer, he saw two men in one corner of the masjid. They did not pray with the jama'ah. فَدَعَ بِهِمَا, so he invited them. The Prophet ﷺ invited them. فَجِئَ بِهِمَا تَرْعُدُ فَرَائِصُهُمَا, they were brought in front of the Prophet ﷺ trembling. They were afraid, they felt that they had committed some major atrocity. فقال ما منعكما أن تصليا معنا, he said, what prevented you from praying with us? قال قد صلينا في رحالنا, they said, we already prayed at home. So see, they lived far away and they prayed at home and then they walked to the masjid. فقال لا تفعلوا, he said, do not do that, which means do not do not sit behind while the people, the jama'ah, the main jama'ah in the masjid is being conducted. لا تفعلوا إذا صلى أحدكم في رحله ثم أدرك الإمام ولم يصلي فليصلي معه فإنها له نافلة. He said, if one of you prayed in his home and then he reaches the Imam while he has not prayed yet, the Imam has not prayed the prayer yet, then let him pray with him, because it will count for him as a nafila, as a voluntary prayer. So this is brought to prove that it is permissible when the Imam is praying the fard prayer for the people behind him to be praying voluntary prayer. This hadith is in Abu Dawood. The previous one is in Bukhari Muslim, as we said, and they are both authentic, therefore. So this shows that it is permissible both ways, for the Imam to be praying nafli prayer and the people behind him praying fard prayer. And the other, this last one shows that it's permissible for the Imam to be praying fard and those behind him to be praying nafl. And this shows that therefore that it is permissible to be, that there be a difference in niyyah between the Imam and the Ma'mumin, in intention. The Imam is intending something and the people behind him have a different intention as to what they are praying. Similar to that, we deduce from that, let's say there was a jama'ah. We were here in the masjid and there was jama'ah, so I don't think this is a good example, probably. Let me say what I was about to say and then discuss it. Let's say they made jama'ah, they prayed Dhuhr and Asr, for example, together because of rain or whatever reason. And then at the time of Asr, some people came and they started to pray Asr. And somebody who already made jama'ah with Dhuhr is still in the masjid, or he came to the masjid for some reason. So is he required to pray with them or not? Is he required to pray with them or not, based on this hadith that we just read? We cannot make an equal comparison here, because in this example that I just gave, the original jama'ah has already been conducted in the masjid with the Imam al-Ratib, with the regular Imam of the masjid. They made jama'ah, and the other jama'ah is being run or conducted because some people did not know that the jama'ah was performed, or for some other reason they could not come except at that time or something like that. But if the second jama'ah happens to be so big and it is not clear for everybody that the original jama'ah has already been conducted earlier, then what I would see, Allahu A'lam, is that it is better for the person who is sitting there to pray with them to avoid any wrong thoughts in the minds of the people, that why is he, just like in this case, for the people to think, why is he sitting behind while everybody is praying? He doesn't believe in our prayer or something like that, or he doesn't like the Imam. You know, all sorts of evil thoughts may come to the minds. Shaitan would bring, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنْ أَبْنِ آدَمَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ فِي الْعُرُوقِ. Shaitan flows in the people, and the sons of Adam or children of Adam, like Satan, like blood flows in the veins. So okay. So anything else, any other question that could be in the minds regarding this hadith about the people who prayed in there? Okay. Now, what if a person is a traveler and he comes to a place where people are residents? Is he allowed to lead them in the prayer? Or is it permissible for a traveler to follow a resident in prayer, in Jama'ah? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, صَلَّى عُمَرُ بِأَهْلِ مَكَّةَ الظُّهْرَ فَسَلَّمَ فِي رَكْعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَتِمُّ صَلَاتَكُمْ يَا أَهْلَ مَكَّةَ فَإِنَّا قَوْمٌ سَفْرٌ. Which means that Umar radiallahu anhu led the people of Mecca in Dhuhr prayer, and then he said the salam after two rak'at, and he said, complete your prayer because we are a traveling people, we are a group who are travelers. Now somebody may make object saying, but Umar was the Khalifa and the Khalifa is permissible, it is his capacity to lead the people wherever he is, wherever he is. But the reputation or the response to that is to say that if a resident person gives permission to a traveler to lead the prayer and gives up his right, then it becomes the same, becomes equal, as if he makes him in charge and he tells him, go ahead and lead us. So it is in that case, and this is permissible to give permission. It is permissible to give permission. So in that case, he would be like Umar in leading people who are residents in prayer while he is traveling. So this shows that it is permissible for a traveler to lead residents. Now there is a hadith that you may hear sometimes, you didn't bring it here, which says, لَا يَأُمَّنَّ مُسَافِرٌ بِمُقِيمٌ لَا يَأُمَّنَّ مُسَافِرٌ بِمُقِيمٌ. This is authentic. It's saying that let not a traveler lead a resident in prayer. But this has to be understood similarly, that without permission. If a traveler is given permission, go ahead and lead us, we would like you to lead us, please lead us, it's permissible. But for a musafir, for a traveler to come and impose himself on the residents, saying, I want to lead you, or something like that, that is not permissible. It brings hard feelings and against this stranger who is trying to impose himself. Okay? But if they allow him and they ask him for that, then there is nothing wrong in it. Now, if the one who leads the prayer is a resident and a traveler prays behind him, we know that a traveler would normally shorten the prayer, right? Would make qasr. But if he prays behind a resident imam, then he has to pray like the imam. He cannot make qasr. Musa bin Salam al-Hudali said, سألت ابن عباس كيف أصلي إذا كنت بمكة إذا لم أصلي مع الإمام فقال ركعتين سنة أبي القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I asked Ibn Abbas, how would I pray if I am in Mecca and I do not pray with the Imam? Which means, like if a person goes for Hajj.
الحسنين
ذات أكرمهما الشرك بالله والضرر
بالناس.
It's too much distraction. So he said, how would I pray in Mecca if I am not praying following the Imam? Now in Mecca, when a person he means when I go for Hajj in Mecca, and normally when you pray behind the Imam, he knows that if I pray behind the Imam, it's obvious that I have to pray like the Imam. So he said, what if I'm not praying behind the Imam? In Mecca means including Mina. So no, wait a minute. In Mina everybody makes qasr. Is it right? Yeah. So he means Mecca itself. So like somebody is in Mecca, and the Imam, like in the Masjid al-Haram, the Imam will pay full prayer. So he knows that he has to follow him. But suppose he is staying away from the Masjid al-Haram, and it's not always convenient for him to come to the Masjid al-Haram to pray. So he had to pray one or two prayers by himself. How would he pray? He's asking. He said two rak'at only. This is the sunnah of Abu Qasim. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it shows that if you pray by yourself two rak'at, but with the Imam, you have to pray like the Imam. Abi Majlis said, I said to Ibn Umar, المسافر يدرك ركعتين من صلاة القوم أتجزيه الركعتان أو يصلي بصلاتهم فضحك وقال يصلي بصلاتهم. He said, I asked Ibn Umar, when a traveler catches two rak'at of the prayer with the people, that is with the, of the residents, so he catches with them two rak'at, is that enough for him, or he has to pray like they prayed, which means make up the what he missed? So he smiled and he said, no, he has to pray like them. He has to pray like them. This is in Al-Bayhaqi, and it is declared authentic by Al-Albani in Irwa Al-Ghalil. The previous one is in Muslim and Al-Nasa'i. The one about that one, he asked Ibn Abbas about prayer in Mecca. Okay, how much time we got? 10 minutes or 5 minutes? Okay, according to the tape, we have more. Now, what if a person is, what if the Imam sits down? Aisha radiallahu anha said, Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi baytihi, wa huwa shakin, fa salla jalisan, wa salla wara'ahu qawmun qiyama. فصلى جالسا وصلى وراءه قوم قياما فأشار إليهم أن يجلسوا فلما انصرف قال إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به فإذا ركع فاركعوا وإذا رفع فارفعوا وإذا صلى جالسا فصلوا جلوسا. This is in Bukhari and Muslim, which means that once Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was sick and he prayed in his house while sitting in his house. Now I do not have the clear picture of how this happened, because we know that his house is not like a palace where you can have, like this room where you can have 200 people, or at least this room can take at least 70 people in Jama'ah prayer, maybe more. It's not like that. His house was probably like a very small room, the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. So he prayed while he was sick. So probably, Allahu alam, what happened is that he prayed at the door of his house or at the entrance of his house, so that the people could see him from outside, from the masjid, and follow him in the prayer. Allahu alam, that's my understanding of this. If I find anything different, I will let you know. So he and the people behind him prayed standing up, it says. So he pointed to them to sit. And when he finished his prayer, he said, the Imam has been made to be followed. So when he make rukua, when he rises, rise. And when he, if he sits, if he prays sitting, then pray sitting, all of you. فَصَلُوا جُلُوسًا. And Anas radiallahu anhu reported that سقط النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن فرس فجحش شقه الأيمن فدخلنا عليه نعوده. This explains it. فحضرت الصلاة فصلى بنا قاعدا فصلينا وراءه قعودا فلما قضى الصلاة قال إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به فإذا كبر فكبروا وإذا سجد فاسجدوا وإذا رفع فارفعوا وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده فقولوا ربنا ولك الحمد وإذا صلى قاعدا فصلوا قعودا أجمعون. This is also in Bukhari and Muslim, which means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell from his horse. He was riding a horse or a mare and he fell off it. So his right side was bruised. So we went to visit him. We entered to his house to visit him, he says. So it seems that it was indeed the prayer all inside the house, but there were few people who came to visit him when he was sick and not feeling well, if this is the same incident. The time for prayer came. So he led us in the prayer sitting. So it seems that he remained in his house and he did not go out into the masjid. He led them in the house. And they prayed behind him sitting. So he did not say that he told them to sit and they sat. He says we prayed behind him sitting. So probably if it is the same incident, it was further was standing and then he told them to sit. After he finished the prayer, he said the imam has indeed been made to be followed. So if he says takbir, say takbir. If he makes sujood, make sujood. If he rises, rise. If he says sami Allahu liman hamida, say rabbana walakal hamd. Now here I have stopped to say it doesn't mean that you do not say sami Allahu liman hamida yourself again also, but it says then you follow by rabbana walakal hamd, because there is nothing to indicate that you do not say yourself sami Allahu liman hamida, because sami Allahu liman hamida in itself is a dhikr, is a form of dhikr. Because what it is saying is that Allah hears those who praise Him. And it's good for you to say it also, even though the Imam said it. So when the Imam says, Sami Allahu min hamdah, you say, Sami Allahu min hamdah, and then you follow it by Rabbana wa laka alhamd. And when he sits, prays sitting, then all of you pray sitting. Now, okay, we are close to the end of the discussion of the Jama'ah prayer. So, what if two people are in Jama'ah, made Jama'ah? What is Jama'ah? If the Jama'ah is made of two people, like As-Salaam wa Rahmatullah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported, Bittu fi bayti khalati maymuna fa-salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Isha'a ثم جاء فصلى أربع ركعات ثم نام ثم قام فجئت فقمت عن يساره فجعلني عن يمينه. Ibn Abbas is saying, I spent the night in my aunt's, Aunt Maymuna's house. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, after he prayed Isha prayer, he came into her house. So it was her turn with him. And he prayed four rak'at. Then he went to sleep. And then he got up at night and he's to pray. So I came and stood on his left side in the prayer to pray with him Jama'ah, the night prayer. He took me and he put me from behind and he put me on his right side. So this shows that if two people are praying together, the one of them stands on the right of the ma'mum, the follower follows, stands on the right side of the imam. And بحذائه, the report in Sahih al-Bukhari says بحذائه, which means he has to be level with him, not like what some people teach that you are, the follower should step a little behind. No, he doesn't step behind, he stands at the level of the imam, okay, shoulder to shoulder, like they are praying in a long in a full jama'ah. So we have to stop here because it's time for prayer, and that's enough for today. Inshallah, we'll finish the subject of Salat al-Jama'ah next week. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.